We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. For prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the seven sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not.
Everybody, and welcome back to Keeping It Real with Cindy. I'm glad to see you guys here. Today we have a really special guest, a friend of mine that I adore, probably one of the biggest open hearts that I know, also one of the best psychic mediums I know. We have Leanne Thomas with us today. Leanne is a psychic medium and channel who works with the angelic realm, giving mediumship and angel readings is very near and dear to her heart. She has a love for connecting people with their crossed over loved ones and their angels. She believes every person incarnates with angels to help them on their journey. All you need to do is ask. The angels want all of you to know how much you are loved and that you are not being judged. Life is a series of learning lessons with plenty of joy, fun, and love along the way. When giving a mediumship or angel reading, she connects with your guardian angels, guides, and loved ones on the other side. Many times archangels will appear as they help you on your journey. Her strengths are claircognizance, clear knowing, clairsentience, clear feeling, clairvoyance, clear seeing. She is a clairaudient, clear hearing, at times. She does use angel cards on occasion. However, she prefers to connect with her intuition. With angels by our side, she can connect with what you need to know from the past, present, or future, which serves your highest good. A channeled message can be incorporated into an angel card, an angel reading, as she channels, bring forth only the most high and loving guides, and being a light who wishes to support your spiritual growth and healing. She is a conscious channel who allows these beings to speak through her with the purpose of love and light. She also uses energy healing to support optimum health in her clients, and reconnective healing practitioner certified with Dr. Eric Pearl. She's also certified to do reconnections, which allow for the individual's true purpose to kick into high gear. You can find her on Facebook at Leanne Thomas Medium, or you can go to her website at angelichope.com. And without further ado, because I can't wait to get her on air, I just have to scroll and scroll here because you guys all love her as much as me, obviously. Leanne, are you there?
I am. Hi, Cindy. Oh, gosh, I'm so excited and thrilled to be back. This is just, my energy is like sparking. Like, it's so high now.
I've been so excited to have you back on the show, and especially about what we discussed earlier with the topic. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. And guys, we will take calls, but later in the show, but our topics tonight are going to be about children that have crossed and also children with gifts. And and you never know when Leanne and I are talking what the heck might come up. But I always forget to do this, so really quickly, I'm just going to say thank you so much to my husband, which calls himself the badass producer in the background, as he screens your calls. Say hi to Wayne. He's a great guy, and he's doing this for us. So thank you, honey.
Thank you.
So how's it going? How have you been?
Really well. Everything's going great. I don't have anything but good news to share about things going on around me and my family. So lots is going on. What do you want to know?
Well, I was looking at your website before I came on. And I went to your events, and you have a couple of events coming up, and one close to me, which we talked about on the phone, but you have one close to you in Santa Clara on May 6th. And so
It's all sold out. So that one sold out on May 6th. So there's no more spots for that. But I am going to be in Miami to teach a class, a two-day course. It's a beginning-level course. It's 2 days because you really need time to develop. And while I'm there in Miami, I'm going to do an audience event that we call a gallery. and so that I can give messages to people from their loved ones in heaven in like that audience kind of format where you demonstrate that the spirit goes on, the spirit lives on. So I'll be there in June on the 23rd and the 24th in Florida. So if you're somewhere in Florida, you know, take a look, hit me up, send me a message on Facebook or an email, or just sign up through Eventbrite or all of the ways that you're supposed to do that. Like, I'm like, I think I have it all set up on my, my husband's also my technical guru like yours is. And so he sets it all up for me on my website so that people can sign up for courses. But I also have a course. The same exact course is going to be taught here in Santa Clara in July. So I still have a few seats for that for July.
In St. Louis, my old stomping ground, too.
I'm not going out to St. Louis until maybe the fall. And so that shifted, like the date or the time has changed. But I love St. Louis. And if anybody wants me to come on out there or sooner than like September, October time frame, then let me know and I'll come out sooner. Like, yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. I was looking at your website and your hubby hasn't changed it yet. So it's showing April 14th and 15th. And so
and we were supposed to go out there
until September.
Right, so we don't have the exact date set, but that there's some snags with the location and with some, you know, other things. So we are going to get that reorganized.
Okay, cool. And yeah, like I said, that was my old stomping grounds. And it's really funny because both you and Gina just moved there when I moved to Key West. And you started going there not long after I moved to Key West. And so I'm like, okay, this is like backwards, but then you're coming to Miami too. So that's all good.
Right. Yeah.
And
funny how
so, yeah. So other than that, I mean, I was looking at that on your website and I thought, and you're already sold out on one, which is really cool that you're selling out so quickly. I think that's really cool.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a group reading. Like, it's a more intimate setting, and those typically sell out pretty quickly. And it's usually in my local area, but I'm always happy to travel somewhere. So if there's somewhere out there that people are and they want someone to be there, you know, let me know, and we'll see what we can arrange.
Cool. So, yeah, just reach her through her website. And, again, that you can reach her on Facebook at Leanne Thomas Medium or at angelichope.com. And so I think you can probably reach her through either of those ways. Or, you know, and as you all of you guys know, I post up a link to both of those on my radio show wall after the show. So you can go over there if you want to and just click it and get to it real easy. So, anyway, we were talking about, and this is of a lot of interest to me because we have a lot of listeners. They're called the Angel Moms, and they actually are based out of St. Louis. I don't know if you knew that or not. But it's called Angel Moms, but it's actually like Angel Parents because dads are included in that. But it's people that have lost their children. And, you know, it's amazing how many questions you get when it comes to the pain of losing a child.
Right.
And so, you know, I think when you brought up talking about the kids, and of course, I didn't mention to you guys that Leanne was also a school teacher for many, many years. And so she's got a close connection to children anyway. But I know that you have dealt with gifted children and also brought through children from the other side in many of your readings. And so I thought this would be a great topic for the show tonight for all of those parents out there.
Right. And it's, and those people that have not lost a child we all do that little thing with our jaw, like when we hear about
like
that little kind of clench or that cringe thing where we all feel, even if I don't think you, even if you don't have kids, like you're an adult but you don't have children, like I think we can all, every human being on the planet can sympathize or connect to the idea that it, that is something so utterly tragic that it's, it feels senseless. It feels like it makes no sense whatsoever why that would need or have to happen or any of that kind of thing. And then just the kind of loss or pain and grief that someone would go through for that. And then feeling it, being a mom myself, being a school teacher and having worked with children, kindergarten children, first grade children, I mean, all age children I've really worked with, that you can empathize with the idea that that pain must be so deep and unique that how do we help, or how do you talk to someone that's been through that? How do you support them? How do you empathize or under? I mean, we can all feel like, oh my gosh, that's got to be so tragic and horrific. But at the same time, that there's got to be a way that we can connect to those people so it's not so awkward or strange. And children are such a blessing. We grow into little monsters, but no, I'm just kidding. We don't. But I mean, but children are such huge blessings to the world. They bring such beautiful energy with every birth, every situation of a child being born. And they're all born gifted. They all bring gifts to us as we go through things. And then if someone has lost a child, it's, that's where my heart goes so much. That's why at the end of the day or a hard week or say like it's like I, there's themes that run through, and most mediums will tell you this, like they'll go through a week and it'll be like, I did five or six readings for parents that lost their children and four of them were suicides. You know, we'll go through things like that. We'll get to the end of a, like a pattern or a week or 10 days or something. And we'll think back on it and reflect about that, you know, at the end of the day that, you know, how much fun we're poked at as having these gifts and sharing our gifts with the world as a medium or psychic. You know, we're poked fun at, we're, you know, called names, all of these other things. But at the end of the day, that it's such a blessing to be able to connect someone to their child that's been lost, or to pass a message along of what they went through before their passing, where they are now, what they're doing in heaven or the other side, and how that their parents can move forward, or how they suggest their parents move forward through the tragedy of what's happened. I don't claim to understand or know that kind of pain that people have experienced with that. But what I do know is the experience of connecting to the children that are in heaven that have gone through it and the messages that they want to relay to us. And I'm talking about children that have passed at the age of, you know, 2, 3, 4, very young, to children that are in their 30s, you know, like, you know, adult children for parents that have lost their children. And the messages that they want to relay, and the message of hope or the message of life goes on is within every one of those messages.
And, you know, I've heard that so many times, and like you, I could never claim to understand the pain of that because I have never lost a child. I hope I never do have to understand that pain. But I hear what you just said over and over again, that when the kids come through, that that they're happy, that they are loved with the people that are on the other side with them, and that they want only good for the people that remain here. They want them to be happy.
Exactly. And nine times out of ten, there's an element of guilt, or there's an element of regret that comes from those of us in the living, especially when it connects to children, like the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And one of the most powerful things that can come through, you know, of course, every reading is very unique, but the idea that of letting go of the guilt connected to a passing is crucial. Like, that's what they want. What we need to understand in the living is that when we didn't directly cause someone else's passing, that the guilt that we carry forward is a punishment on the self that we do, and they don't want us to do that. They don't want their life and then therefore their death or their passing to be that's what's remembered. So anyone, like, I hope that people that have lost any loved one, but particularly if you've lost a child of any age, that you hear the message that your loved one doesn't want you to carry any guilt related to their passing and the shoulda, coulda, wouldas that go with that, that you can let go right now in this moment, the idea that, you know, you should have done something different, more, or whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess that brings me to the question of the have you brought through children that have caused their own death, whether that be suicide or, whatever, you know, drug overdose type of thing? And if, and I know that you have, so can you kind of fill in what you get when you get those types of messages from children that have either committed suicide from, you know, drug overdose or are suicide just by whatever means?
Yeah. So I'm thinking off, very easily off the top of my head of someone that since her first reading has now become a student. Her adult son had been on drugs on and off in his life, and he had struggled with that, but it was like a roller coaster for him. And he showed me being on a roller coaster at various points in time in his life and the struggles that he had been with on and off of drugs. But when I'm thinking of this friend of mine and the loss of her son, number one, she's already given me permission to share her story, but I'm going to keep her name and that out of it because I didn't ask her specifically about today. But there's a book that I'm writing and she's going to be in the book and things like that about, parents who have lost children and the messages from children that are, that they want to relay to us. And the thing that he wanted his mother to understand was that she was an awesome mother, despite what were imperfections, despite what she would claim were imperfections. And that she was someone very much that he could trust, and he was sorry that he had pushed her away at times and wasn't telling her things, and that he was deeply sorry for not reaching out to her before taking his life, and that was his ultimate message, was how sorry he was, because she had been carrying around with her for a long time that he didn't feel he could reach out to her. And it was just the opposite, that he was feeling shame, and that he had gotten to the point where he had gone back on drugs after being clean to then make this decision. And he didn't die from a drug overdose, but he couldn't stand putting the people that he loved through all of the things that he had done before, or, you know, putting them through it again. And the fact that he was going through all of this pain again, he was just tired of it. And so that the idea that she was a wonderful mother, had been there for him through all of his ups and downs, and that he was so deeply sorry, and he truly really wasn't himself in the moment that he did it. He didn't really want to die, but he had felt like he was in such a desperate moment. And I have seen that, not the exact same thing, but very similar things about wanting for their parents, especially those that have crossed over through being on drugs or alcohol or accidents that, you know, are part of alcohol-related deaths, that they're so deeply sorry that they didn't reach out for help sooner, or that they didn't trust the process. It's like in some way they shut themselves down when they were alive. The most beautiful thing about it, Cindy, is that all of these children, regardless of how old they on the other side want to express that, especially with the suicide, that they're in the arms of God, that they've crossed over and have made their peace with and decided to make their entrance into heaven, and that they were welcomed with open arms from other loved ones, guides, from the angels, of course, and of course from God, that they're not kept out of heaven because they decided on some level, whether it was conscious or unconscious, because they were on drugs. Some of these kids don't really have the mind frame to understand that they're killing themselves, and some do. But no matter what, make the decision that I'm ending my life, and they're very clear about it, to the ones that overdose or things like that and that suicide that way, they're all in heaven. They're all on the other side in the arms of God. They're not lost somewhere or in some weird purgatory or something like that, that they really find peace and joy and happiness on the other side, and that their souls are perfectly safe. That's, I think, as a parent, don't you think, Cindy? Like, I can think about it. I can only imagine, because I haven't experienced it. But that would be my biggest torment, would be my fear of what had happened to their soul and where did it go. I've never had a soul of a child reach out to me and say that they were lost somewhere, you know, when I was giving a reading. I'm not saying that doesn't happen out there. I'm only saying that I haven't experienced it this way and through my readings. And I think a lot of the stuff that we see on the TV shows is embellished, exaggerated, whatever. We don't need to get into that. But I think any parent listening that's lost a child, whether it was suicide, a drug overdose, an illness, an accident, to know that their child is safe and at peace and watching over. I love how they like to drop in little things about what's going on in their lives, like in what's going on in people's lives or what's going on around them. That's how they let us know that they're there watching over. They'll kind of what I call tattletaling. Like children will say, you know, my mom's up to this or my mom's doing that. Or like recently I heard from a child that had crossed over for a woman that that her son was watching her shop online. Like he was like watching her make purchases and shop online. And it was like so funny that, you know, that was coming up. So they're there still with us. So I hope people that are listening understand that.
Well, and I think with what you've just said, one of the things I wanted to go back to is do you find, and this is a question, do you find that most of the kids that come through that had committed a suicide, whether it was they took drugs knowing or too purposely in their life or they, well, however they did it, wanted to stop but it was too late?
Yeah. Or
they wouldn't have.
And they had a regression. Like that,
And I've heard that time and time again, that most of them, you know, when it was too late, but that they wish that they could have taken it back because of the pain that it caused their loved ones here. The regret that you just mentioned.
Always. It's like that same kind of hindsight. I call it the V8 moment in heaven. Like when we cross over, we have that moment of realization where the blinders are off. We've crossed through the veil and we like kind of smack ourselves on the forehead and we're like, oh my gosh, like I wish I knew. I wish I would have understood, or I wish I would have followed through. I wish I would have trusted. And that's something I think for those of us in the living that we need to listen to, because it's not always about drugs or things like that in our own personal lives, but what is it that we've all been wanting to do or accomplish? You know, what it might be something to do with someone's health, or it could be with their career or even romance, or being vulnerable with their partner and making a relationship healthier, better, stronger. And so when we hold ourselves back, we often will look back and say, if I just woulda. And certainly those that committed suicide, that's one of the things that they go through. It sounds very common, you know, to like you and me, like we can totally get that or understand it. But, you know, like all of us in some way, or most of us, I guess, in some way do that in little ways to our lives. It may not be about drugs, or it may not be drastic enough to end our life, but certainly it could be in a way we could take a look. What can we do to enhance our life right now, make it better, stronger, healthier, more amazing?
Yeah, so that we wouldn't have that I wished I would have thing. And, you know, I experienced that with the people that I cared for that were about to cross over. I heard again and again, I wished I would have. And so dropping the fear and just moving into what it is that you want for yourself or for your family or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, it's like you don't want to wait until it's too late and
that's
be the person that says, yeah, I wished I would have. And, you know, it's kind of why Wayne and I moved to Key West, because of these people that I cared for, and hearing this time and time again, the one thing we said was, well, we did not want to live a life where we would eventually say, I wished I would have. And so we just picked up the company and sold everything and dropped the fear and moved to Key West. And
aren't
we don't
you
regret
glad
it.
You did it? Yeah.
Yes. And
there's no
regrets,
there's no regret
whatsoever.
There might have been hard times. There might have been moments where you were like, oh, Lord have mercy. What did we do? Like, what, you know, there would have been those moments that the angels always are telling me and then passing along the message from me to other people that they don't promise that things are going to be easy. What they promise is that you will be glad and you won't regret it in the end. Whatever change they're asking someone to do to make things better. And what the angels have told me over and over again, even before the end of 2017, was that 2018 was going to be the year of purging. That it was the year to finally, if you hadn't before, let things go. Whether it's like cleaning out your closets, whether it's giving up a bad habit, say like smoking, or for some people it might be drinking, for some people it might be meat, for some people it might be caffeine. It's very dependent on the person and whatever their life is meant to be. But the idea of purging things will bring great rewards. And as we see over and over again in the news with the people that are stars, you know, the divorces are piling up this year, and it's only March. And I mean, we see them every year, so I'm not saying that's something unusual. But with that, those that are making their effort this year to do that and clear the way are going to see great rewards. If it's in the area of your love life, you're going to get a greater love. If it's in the area of your career, you're going to see career things improve or get better, or bold moves come so that you have your own career or your own business. I mean, if you let things go, even if it's cleaning out your closet, you're going to find great rewards of that. So I don't know where that came from. I am not about
it's kids. Just trusting that the things that you're releasing are going to be good for you. Just having that trust in letting life flow the way that it's supposed to, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like it's the, you know, dropping the fear. And yeah, it was tough. And someday I'll tell those stories. It's like I could write a book on our move to Key West. And yet, you know what I kept saying? You're not going to win. This is what we want. We don't care. We're moving forward and we're just doing it. And, you know, and the funny thing is all of those little things that happen that we give so much to, we forget in a short period of time.
Oh yeah,
they weren't really big enough for us to give that much attention to, and so, you know. But we do. We tend to give a lot of attention to the things that we perceive as negative, and it is a perception, because I feel that too, and I'll throw that across the plate here. I feel like it's all perspective, and that the things that happen to us are for our own good, and we might not know it, might not feel like it, but eventually, if we look back, we'll understand why.
I 100% agree. And the idea is to get out of your own head and your own woes to get there. And it's not always easy. I'm not going to tell someone that's, let's just use the idea of losing your child or something, like, oh, just get over it and learn the lesson, or there's a deeper lesson in this for you. Where all of that is true, there's an appropriateness to speaking it or helping someone walk through the process of that. And it's a very lonely journey to take in that direction. But so many people have also walked through it. So as lonely as it is, because it's your pain, it's your individual situation that's gone through, but the truth is everything that you said, but we all have to get there. We all have to look deeper within to see the meaning of that. And here's, at the end of the day, Cindy, why you do what you do and why I do what I do is because we want people to get it, that life goes on. This is temporary. Our real life is in heaven. Our real life is on the other side. We come here to learn, evolve, and grow our soul. And part of that is supposed to be joy. And what comes with it, because of the growth for the soul's possibility, the soul's sake, is tragedy, pain, struggle, that kind of thing. What if I was to tell you, and you never experienced what a strawberry was, and I was to describe it to you, you'd be like, great, like that sounds amazing. I want to have one of those. You know, and then some people try a strawberry and they're like, yeah, no, thank you. And some people try it and it's like their favorite thing. But you don't know till you experience it. So we're over there in heaven on the other side putting together a life plan and a soul contract. And we're like, sign me up for that experience. I've never experienced a life where I lost a child before. And everybody else is going like, oh, I did, dude. That's hard. Don't do it. Like, that's really difficult, but they're like, it's the only thing I haven't done yet. So someone signs up for it. And that's, I'm not saying that that's the case in every situation that someone's lost a child, but it certainly is part of most people's situations. Now I'm making light of it and I'm simplifying it. So clearly it isn't just that simple. But there is a level of everything that we go through to go through it for the experience of it, because we haven't had the experience of it. And in the perfection of heaven and in the perfection of the soul that is without judgment within or within anything is the idea that I can take it on and I can handle it. But when we come and we experience it that way, we often go through traumatic experience, I get, for lack of a better term, a traumatic experience, the loss of a child. And then what I remind parents, and I make it a point to do this, and that's why I think I'm also writing the book, is because that children bring so many other gifts to our lives, even if you only had a child in your life for a few years. Let's say, and I've experienced this with people that have lost children, that the children have passed away and after 5 or 6 years old or less, and that the experience of having them and going through that, almost all parents will say, yes, it was absolutely worth it. Yes, I would do it again to have their child closer. Of course, they would have wanted more time. They would have wanted things to be different. But the what the children want to teach us and what I want to remind parents is that the time we get with anyone or everyone, whether the time is a few years or a long period of time, is a blessing and a gift, because the physical, being in physical, the 3D body is a treasure, as difficult as it is. And anybody listening that's going through a rough time, loss of a job, loss of a relationship, heartache, feeling not abundant, feeling not healthy, whatever it is, the tragedy it's going through, it's still a gift. It's still an opportunity. And when we look at it, that's like what you were saying. like you were saying, how there's a lesson in everything, or looking for the gift within everything. And that's what these children want us to know, that every moment that they had with us was a gift. Every breath that they got to take, even if it was only for a few years, was a gift. So we must treasure within our own lives that gift. And where's the gratitude in our lives? Where's the moment that we can look at and say, what a blessing that I do have my health today, or what a blessing that I got to enjoy that piece of chocolate, or that strawberry, or a conversation with a good friend, or the experience of the way water feels on your skin. I don't know, but every day I think that. Like, I love the way water feels when it's coming onto my skin. And if that's the thing that you reach for in gratitude, then you've lived, then you've done it, and you're moving in the right direction, and use those little things of gratitude, because that's what the children want to teach us. And aren't they born so gifted? Like, out of the mouth of babes, that's what they say, right?
Right. And, you know, I'll take that strawberry dipped in chocolate.
Yeah, me too. One of my favorite things. So funny.
Yeah. But, yes, and, you know, I do agree with that. And, you know, the things that had initially seemed extremely difficult in my life are the things that turned out to be the biggest blessings. And, and you know, I can use examples of that. I mean, when I first started caring for my grandparents, I remember going into the bathroom and sitting and sobbing because it was so overwhelming, and coming out and acting all strong. But in the end, I would do it again. After all of the years I cared for them, it became my biggest blessing. And, you know, it was an amazing experience, and it was just the getting used to something that you weren't used to, you know, a change in your life. And change is always hard. And, you know, that's, I think, also part of the issue when someone loses a child. You have this sudden change in your life where you had something that's now gone, something that was, you know, your breath, your life, and it's suddenly gone. And so those changes are difficult. But as you said, I've never yet met a parent that would not want to have that child, even if it meant losing them again. You know, the time that they spent was like such a blessing. And it doesn't matter. I've never heard it from anybody that lost a child within weeks or lost a child that was a grown-up, you know, that was already grown. But anyway, thank you for that. And, you know, the other thing that we were going to talk about, and I'm kind of excited about this topic too, is children with gifts and how parents can help them deal with those gifts. I'm going to let you take that one on.
Not only recognizing this as a mom, not only recognizing it as going through my childhood and wishing that I would have had this support so that I could have owned my gift so much sooner, but as an elementary school teacher for 20 years or almost 20 years, that seeing them come through my classrooms and other teachers' classrooms so often, is that these are the kids that parents can often be worried about. That isn't necessarily or always the case, but they can be kids that are in their own little inner world. They can look like they've pulled back or been withdrawn when really they're not. They're just experiencing the other side. They go within and they can find the other side very easily. What I've noticed about and mentoring for children, being the teacher and things like that, they often have very early childhood illness. Like, they're not sure they want to stay. Like, do I want to head back to heaven? Do I want to stay? Do I want to get stronger and make the difference that I know my soul wanted to come? Or am I going to chicken out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's dipping their toe in the water. Yeah. They often get very much stronger, because their physical energy will overcome whatever issue that they have. So if you've got a child that you know is very sensitive, they often talk about seeing things that aren't there, are scared of monsters in the closet or things like that, and they also carry some kind of an illness with them, be very brave for that child, because 99.9% of the time, they become very strong and healthy in their lives. And I was a very sickly child. I had a lot of things that were health problems that I had as a kid. And I'm almost never sick now as an adult. And when I am, it's like really minor things. Like I'm, because of the strength that it's come about me. Kids with gifts come in what I call categories. So you have the empathic children, children that can feel the energy. They know the emotions. They know the mental state. They may not have the words or the understanding to describe it, what's going on, but they key into the energy, what's going on in the home, the world, the school, the environment that's around them. Then you have kids that are very psychic. They just know things. They know what's going on. They know what's happening. They know if somebody's lying to them. This would be in the category of my son. He is so psychic. Like, I could not even teach him about Santa Claus when he was little. Like, you know, being even a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, he would have looked at me sideways. He just knew the truth. He just was very psychic. And then you have the kids that are very mediumistic. They're seeing the spirit world. They're connecting to the spirit world. So within those three categories, of course you can have children that carry more than one ability or more than one trait. Like for me, I have the gamut. Like I had them all. But you might see more of a strength or more of a propensity or an angle, a child that's in your life. And let's just face it, we all have kids in our lives, whether you have, you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, or you work with kids in some way. And I'm talking about kids anywhere between, you know, the time they're born to being 20, because let's just face it, at 20, we don't have anything figured out. And I don't really know. But at 18,
right,
that we, you know, of course, I'm not saying that, you know, all 20-year-olds are foolish. I'm not saying that at all. But that I think that as a mom, and I think you understand this as well, even our 20-year-olds, we want to very much protect over and watch over. But they're still flourishing and growing. So when I look at the range of those ages and the categories from empathic children, they can tend to be healers very young. They're very sensitive. These are the kids that tend to be sick very often or most often. Then you've got your psychic kids that just know things and you can't trick them. You can't tell them. They know what's in their presence or in their gifts, or if you say something and it's not true, or you're, you know, we don't always lie to our kids because we're lying. Sometimes we're doing it to protect them or because it's a game that we play in the world, and but they know. And then your mediumship kids who are connecting to angels and the other side and guides, and they see people that aren't there, monsters that aren't there, things like that. And then, you know, as you mix it all together, you see that kids come with some knowings and wisdoms when we allow them to have them. The best thing that anybody can do for a child in their life, it doesn't mean you need to be the parent, is to let the kid talk and to get them talking. And if kids don't like to do a lot of talking, get them drawing pictures, get them writing stories, tell them your stories, and then ask them what they think. Honor whatever they're sensing or feeling, because that's very crucial, is to honor whatever is going on with that kid. And by honoring, what I mean is, like, don't tell them it's just their imagination. Tell them that they'll be okay. And then I always feel like giving them something they can do, action they can take, helps them overcome some of the fears that they have. So an action to take might be that every night before bed, we plug in this nightlight, and the nightlight's a protector, and we say a prayer. Like, you know, saying a prayer can be an action to take. You can teach a child how to sage with you. You can teach that, you know, when we light this candle, it's sending protection into the room, or things like that. I mean, of course, anytime you're going to light something on fire, like a candle or sage or something, that, you know, adult needs to be present. But you can do it with them so that they feel they're taking an action to empower themselves. But over time, what really needs to happen is that we teach these kids that the power of intention, or the power of their thoughts and their intentions that they put towards something, are more powerful than any tool. We just
right.
use the tool so that a child can have something to focus on.
Mm-hmm. I could not agree with you more. I absolutely love that you just said that. Because I feel exactly the same way. If you give them something that you tell them has all the power, children are likely to lose it, right? Are you there?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I'm here. Yeah, I thought I lost you for a second. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. I said if you give a child something and put the power into that item, children are known to lose stuff. And so they go, you know, to recess. They go upside down on the swings, and that falls out of their pocket. Suddenly they feel like they have no power. And the power
right.
is actually in them, not in the item. So I love that you just said that. And,
right.
And,
yeah, definitely.
Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, when we're in our home or we're at home, we can then, like, have, you know, like at when I was growing up, every night before dinner, we would say a prayer before, and we did it together as a family. And when we had extended family, there were different prayers that we would say, but we would say a grace or a prayer before dinner. It's the same kind of thing. It's like an intention setting that we teach, but it's an action to take. But like, say if someone, like their thing is crystals or something like that, like you, like a stone or a rocket falls out of their pocket or something like that. Those things are great too, but then you're exactly right. We need to make sure that we're teaching them that we're not giving our power to something, not a candle,
right.
not the sage, not anything else, that we're, it does reside within. So thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For clarifying that.
And you know, it's like every time you come on the show, it feels like it was 10 minutes and our time is so do you mind if we take a couple of calls real quick before I let you go?
Yeah, no, not at all. I hope people have messages, questions about kids too. Like they can just ask questions if you want also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, guys, have a question ready. And we're limiting it to one because we're running out of time. So I'm trying to make this a quick one. I'll try not to be rude, but we need to keep it at a minimum if at all possible. You know I love you guys, so. And I am going to have you pick a number. I'm going to do it different again just because I like changing things up. Pick a number between 1 and 15.
Okay. Let me do 5.
Okay. I'm going to count down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. We've got Brittany. Brittany, you're live on the air with Cindy and Leanne. Did you have a question for Leanne?
Yes. How are y'all guys doing tonight?
Good. Great.
Yes. I have a question about my relationship, and I just want to know what do you see coming up or whatever. Me and this person have been together for a while.
You know, the thing that the angels bring forward to you, and it's funny because you actually have angels that step up and surround you. I feel like the person that you're with is not just you, but the other person is stepping in and out or like two steps forward, one step back with like commitment with you or things like that, because he doesn't feel solid in his life, like financially. But the commitment I feel around him is there, but he doesn't feel like he feels like he feels solid financially. So he has to understand that you want to be with him regardless of how much money he's making or things like that, if that's the truth. So you've got to check into yourself. I will call an Archangel Ariel to help you be courageous and truthful so you discover what it is that you really want. Because here's the truth. I really feel in some way that you're holding yourself back from helping this relationship go forward because you're not sure you want it the way that it is. And I feel because of some financial reasons.
No, I just feel like he has a hard time committing. Like, you know, I'm a little bit.
Because of financial stuff on his part. I feel like whether he has $1 million in the bank or 10, it doesn't matter. They're showing me like his heart is confused about his finances or how much he wished he was to have. And there is something within you that also bothers. Not that the commitment isn't actually there, because I actually feel he truly and genuinely cares about you. It's a different issue than caring about someone here.
I think
he really does care about you.
I mean, we have our ups and downs, but the money problem doesn't bother me. I'm just trying to, you know, get us to come together where we can do it together as partners. And, you know, that's just about it. But, you know, however
right.
God works out, it'll work out.
Exactly.
You know?
And I feel the care is truthful. So if you really mean that you don't care if he's broke and doesn't even work, like it doesn't bother you that he has no job at all, then he needs to hear that and know that, because that's kind of his hang up. And it's
He already knows that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I feel like then there's no problem with it helping it to progress or go forward. Just keep having the conversation that you're ready for him. No matter where the finances tend to fall, or wherever you live, or, you know, poor, rich, in between, you're in it.
Yeah, but he has to understand that on his own. I've done my part, so I just step back and just let him come to me and just give it to God.
Right, and it never hurts to keep saying it, though. I got to tell you, sometimes we need to tell people that are in our lives what matters, because they may not believe it, even if we've said it. It has to sink in.
Yeah.
Mhm. I do agree with that. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Brittany.
All right. Thank you.
And I do agree with that. It's like we all have issues. You know, we're hard on ourselves, and so yeah, I think. But okay. So again, pick a number between 1 and 14.
Okay, 1 and 14. Let me go
to
7.
Well, no, 15. Still do 15. That's
okay.
That's good.
7 anyway.
7, okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't have a name on this one, but we have area code 210. Area code 210. I'm sorry Wayne didn't pick you up, but you're live on the air with Cindy and Leanne.
Oh, so this is Pearl. I was listening, but I'll ask a question too.
Okay.
Awesome.
This is Pearl from Texas. How are you?
I'm good. Pearl, would you have a father figure for you in the spirit world?
I do. I have a couple of them.
Okay. Well, makes sense to me. This gentleman that I'm connecting to, and I know you haven't even asked your question, but I just want to pass on that I don't feel that he was like your biological father, meaning, but I do feel he was important in your life. I also feel he wasn't well before he passed. It's so funny, because would there also be a connection here to Tennessee or moonshine?
Moonshine. The Tennessee doesn't ring a bell, but he liked, he definitely liked to drink. So.
Okay. I'm seeing like a label, and I don't know the alcohol brand, but it has the Tennessee label on it or something like that. So it's like, you know, moonshine drinking, or is there a brand of alcohol that has Tennessee on it or something like that? That's what I'm seeing. So I want to bring that up. And I do feel like the alcohol issues or the loving of a drink that would be to some kind of a deficit. I feel like he's wanting to, just say that, like, he's safe, he's well here on the other side. There's a sense of giving love forward through the mistakes.
So when you bring that up, there's two things that come to mind. I had a brother-in-law that passed that was a bourbon drinker. And then I have, a stepdad who actually, boy, he loved his beer. But he loved beer and he loved other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more of
the father figure, because he's showing me not biological, but the father figure more than the brother-in-law figure. And I feel like that he wants to stay safe, happy, well here on the other side, because I feel like you were somehow integral or helpful, either up to his passing or with things around his passing. And I just feel like there's a sense of gratitude or being gratefulness, and the sense of forgiveness I feel in your heart. I don't feel like this gentleman that I have, though, is a bad man. Like, I'm not picking up on being a bad person. I just feel mistakes made.
Yes. And he was, and he has a tendency to pop up here and there to tell me that he loves me, which is kind of interesting to me, because my mother had told me that he believed in the afterlife like she did, but we never spoke of it. We worked together for 5 years. We were always, in some ways, we were closer than his own daughter was. We had a special bond.
I can feel that. I definitely sense that.
He was a father.
I wouldn't be surprised if you weren't good at some kind of healing work or in the medical field or something like that, because he keeps talking about you heal or help people. So,
Reiki.
Awesome.
Reiki.
Ah,
good girl.
Yeah.
I love it. You're perfect for that. And I want to tell you, I also feel it's evolving past like the Reiki or whatever, the Reiki that you've learned. I feel like it's surpassed the level of teachings that you've been given. And I'm not saying that like, oh, it's a, you know, something superior to something else. It's just they're showing me like upgrades in your system.
Interesting, because they have to do that when I do it. I mean, I do it my own way, and so when I go in, I see shadows and I get symbols, and it's kind of the funny things that I see is always very interesting to me, because I don't expect what I'm going to see, you know, because, I mean, Reiki teaches you symbols, and you're supposed to do it a certain method, and anyway, yeah.
Yeah,
so
he's very proud
of
you for doing that work and bringing things along. I know, like, Cindy's gonna want us to keep moving along, but girl, I want to encourage you. I want to support you. I want you to know that the spirit world supporting your work and what you do, I want to encourage you to write about it, and I want you to sit in meditation with the angels to bring in further downloads, downgrades, or levels for you.
Oh, I'd love that. So, and just one real quick side note on your topic today for both of you ladies. I loved it. I was a child that almost died as a baby several times. They'd have to stick, they set up with me all night long, they'd have to stick me in the shower to make me breathe again under cold water. And so, and I was a child all my life. My mother would tell me, you're too sensitive. You're too sensitive. And I go, okay, I'll be less sensitive, but how do I do that?
Now your sensitive helps people, so that's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. This has been very fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, that kind of also validates what you were saying about the children that had health issues earlier in life tend to have. Yeah. But you know what, Leanne, I'm like kind of sad that I have to let you go, because it seems like we just got here. But at the same time, I wanted to remind everybody that you can find Leanne on Facebook at Leanne Thomas Medium, or you can go to angelichope.com, both of which will be on my wall on Facebook, Keeping It Real with Cindy. So if you're a member over there, you can just wait and click the links to hook up with Leanne. And Leanne, thank you so much for sharing again today.
Oh, my gosh, what a blessing for me. And what I want everybody to know with the children in your lives is to listen to them. And if you've lost a child, to know that they have not departed from you. They are still around, sending their signs, symbols, and love to all of you. But Cindy, thank you. It's always an honor. And what you do here for everyone in the listening and on your radio show is such a beautiful thing. And thank you for having me back.
Mutual Admiration Society, because I adore you. And you are so welcome. You know I'm going to have you back again in the future. I can't let you go.
Good. Okay.
So thank you.
Excellent.
Have a great night, Leanne.
All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. So next. Oh, I was going to play the disclaimer to make you guys laugh, and I forgot. Remind me next time. Somebody put it in there before we do readings in the chat room. But next week we have Kay Fallstrom, and we're kind of going to go on a little bit with this topic. We're talking, though, about adolescents and young adults, And Kay is going to talk to us about a similar thing, but from her perspective. And so just like the next group up from children. And she's always so full of love, too. That's on the 10th. On the 17th, we have the awesome Corrine, along with Shelby and Renee are all coming, and we're going to do a paranormal kind of round table. And I'm looking forward to that one because we haven't done a paranormal show in a while now. So that one's going to be really cool, and I love those girls. On the 24th, we have Marianne DeMarco with us. And then on May 1st, we have Melissa Kubelis coming back to talk to us again. Anyway, so I just want you guys to know how much I appreciate you. You guys rock my world. Thank you so, so much for showing up again. Without you, I wouldn't have a show. I know I say that over and over. But I'm going to play, to end the show, I'm going to play a local musician song from here in Key West. Her name is Adrienne Z, and she's pretty well known down here. The song is called When the Day is Through. And have a great week, you guys. I'll see you next week.